I'm going to entitle the message this morning, Promises, Promises. What are the promises that God has given to us? Peter said he has given to us great and precious promises. Great and precious promises. We do take vows when we get married, don't we? For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, sickness and health. We know there's good times and bad times, but our commitment to the Lord needs to stay strong. And so I listed out a few verses that I thought would make good verses for the year. I talked to Bob Dontremont this week, and he chose one of my favorite verses for his verse for the year, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, that he which hath begun a good work in you. And I'm sure that that work started in Bob's life before I was born. It's amazing, isn't it? People who have made that commitment to the Lord years and years ago. And I chose that verse a long time ago because I was a little bit shaken as to whether or not I was really a Christian. About the same time, I wondered whether Christianity was true and would I have been happy, just as happy being Muslim or Hindu or Buddhist. And that question was answered by the resurrection of Jesus. Because of the resurrection, Jesus proved who he was. And he claimed to be exclusively the way to God. So that settled that question for me. But when did I become a part of it? Because I realized reading through the Bible, there were people who were Christians, people who weren't Christians. When did I become a part of it? I shared in Sunday school this morning how I went through that time of wondering, you know, am I really a Christian? And I would go forward at just many, I remember going forward at a number of different meetings. But I'll always go back, after I read that verse, to that time when I was just a little child. And I believe it was my mom who took me aside and told me that I needed to ask Jesus for his forgiveness and accept his salvation. And then I could see God's hand in my life from the time I was just a little kid. In fact, I was so little, one of the men I talked to at one point said, you couldn't have been a Christian that young. 5 years old, that's you couldn't understand it. Well, you don't have to understand it. You have to become like a child to get in. And I was already a child, so it was easy. Some verses, I should have put the reference afterwards in case somebody wanted to jot them down. So I'll read the verse and give you the reference. And if you hear one that you really want to look up later, look it up. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Deuteronomy 31, 6. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. John 6, 37. John 6, 37. Another one of my favorites. I read this a lot to those I visit in the hospital, assuring them of God's presence. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, or doctors, or nurses, or IVs, or bedpans. Bedpans are the worst. And I tell them, it doesn't really say that. But it does say, nor anything else in all creation. So it includes that, doesn't it? Anything that would hinder us, frustrate us, seek to tear us apart from God, will be able, none of those things, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. What a great passage that is. I don't think you can beat Romans chapter 8 for a favorite chapter. Maybe 1 Corinthians 15. They're pretty close, aren't they? John chapter 11. Yeah, they have a few. That was Romans 8, 38 and 39. Romans 8, 38 and 39. 28, the same chapter, says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Not everything that happens in our lives or that will happen in this year will be good. But God is the only one who can work them all together for good. He can take the bad things in life and bring good out of them. I can't do that. None of you can do that. But God can do that. I think this is somebody's favorite verse here this morning. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Oh, do you have any anxiety this year? How about 1 Peter 5:7? Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:10. John 11:25 and 26. See, I mentioned John 11 before. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? What a powerful verse that is. Martha had forgotten, or maybe she didn't know, that the resurrection was not only an event, or not essentially an event. The resurrection was a person. I am, Jesus said, the resurrection and the life. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29, 11. That's a real good one. How can I say that? They're all good, aren't they? He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on the wings of eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Isaiah 40, 29 to 31. John 14, 27. I am leaving with you a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. John 14, 27. Just a few verses, and there are thousands of verses. Wonderful verses, wonderful promises from the Lord. Great and precious promises. In the Bible, there are also covenants that are promises. And there are three different kinds of covenants that God made. We don't really understand all of the background or the historical facts that surrounded these kind of covenants. They involved the sacrifice of animals, as people would make promises. They would cut the animal. They would walk between the pieces, the sides. But covenants were made. There were general, there were conditional, there were unconditional covenants throughout the scriptures. The first covenant that was given was a general covenant. It was the covenant that God made with Adam. And it's ours because we are the children, sons and daughters of Adam. It's found in Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 30, and chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. It included the command not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And it brought a curse to humanity because that covenant was broken. The second covenant of, I believe, seven was the covenant that God made with Noah. He says in Genesis 9, verse 11, I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. The symbol of that promise is the rainbow, because it had never rained until that flood. And after the storm stopped, they could see God's promise in the rainbow. The covenant is the third, and that again is a general covenant that covers all of mankind. The covenant that God made with Abraham was an unconditional covenant. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, he promises Abraham a land, a seed, who was Jesus, and a blessing, that all those who would bless Abraham would be blessed, and those who cursed him would be cursed. Circumcision was a sign of that covenant. The fulfillment of this covenant is seen in history, in the history of Abraham's descendants and the creation of the nation of Israel. Can you imagine God saying to you, I'm going to bring a nation from your children? You know, the biggest families that I've seen this year, New Year's pictures, have been relatively small compared with the nation of Israel. I just can't imagine that happening today. But at least two nations came from Abraham's seed. Then there is the Palestinian covenant. And again, this is an unconditional covenant where God gave to Israel the land that's far larger than what it is today. This covenant has been fulfilled twice, with the Babylonian captivity and then the rebuilding of Jerusalem under Cyrus the Great, and then the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, followed by the reinstatement of the nation of Israel in 1948. Is this the last time? I don't know. It's hard to tell what's going to happen in the future, isn't it? Whether Israel could be forced out and then come back at a later date, but we know that the final kingdom will be Jesus' millennial kingdom, and that's still in the future. The Mosaic covenant is the conditional covenant that comes with blessings and cursings found in Deuteronomy chapter 11, and I especially like Deuteronomy chapter 28. You know, if you do these things, you'll be blessed. If you don't do them, you'll be cursed. I especially like, you'll be the head. Or, if you don't do those things, you'll be the tail. You know, which end do we want to be? You know, blessed or not blessed by the Lord? It depends on the way we live. The Davidic covenant. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 8 through 16, God's blessing on David's line. And we know that ends in the everlasting kingdom, that Jesus is from the line of David. And as the son of David, he will ultimately fulfill that covenant given to David. But the most important covenant for us today is the new covenant. We find the new covenant in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. Listen to what it says. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they will all know me, From the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful covenant that is. But it wasn't only to the people of Israel. It was to the nations as well. It was for you and for me. Matthew 26:28. Jesus said, "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." We celebrate that today at the table of the Lord. His blood shed for us. Hebrews 9:15 says, "For this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance." We receive that promise, not as Jewish people, but as Gentiles. The nations, it's an open hand. It is for many and not for few. "And it shall come to pass," Acts 2:21 says, "that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We have called on his name. So we come under that new covenant, that new promise, that new testament. We are children also of this covenant. So we come to the table where we celebrate the terms of that covenant, the body of Jesus given for us, his blood shed for us, that we might have that new life. I was thinking earlier about this victim status. In politics, they call it a victim card. And I think too often we play that as Christians. Please be patient with me. God isn't finished with me yet. It's a good saying, and we have to use it quite often. But I hope we don't use it too often. I think we should place beside the victim card the victor's card. That Christ has given me the victory. And we should look for more victories in our life and less defeats. You know, not to be discouraged, not to burden you. But maybe that's something that we should look forward to this year. A willingness not to settle, but to go on for victory in our lives because of what Christ has done for us. Because he died that we might live, and not just live a mediocre life, but to live a life in his spirit, which Jesus would call an abundant life. So I'm not too much for making New Year's resolutions. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning, and someone said I made a resolution not to make a resolution. But we do need some goals, and we need some victories. And we need to realize that God is for us. And if God is for us, who can stand against us?